in a wormhole, probably about to burn. In a white tunnel, are you ever gonna learn? Seeing land, probably gonna merge. Gonna be dead, laying in the dirt. Funny how you smart, but you still a nerd. Play your part.
Yo, what's up? This is Jared Garth, my co-host Jordan Reigns. Today we're going to do a IDP mock draft. Jordan did one a couple weeks ago, had a lot of fun. I was actually out with the family, and my wife kept on looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I'm doing this mock draft. It's so much fun. And she's like, we're eating lunch.
it was awesome.
So, yeah, so we always working. So this will be fun. If you guys have questions while we're doing it, please just ask a question. We'll see what we can do to get into those questions. So,
yep. We got Seahawks Dan here. He was on the show. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago with us? He's a good friend of the show. He's going to be helping us out. He's got the end. It looks like I took the middle. Jared is taking that number one overall pick. And I don't know if anyone else is going to hop in with us or not. We might give it a minute or two, see if anybody else hops in, but as you can see, the format here is going to be three DL, three linebackers, and then three defensive backs, and then one IDP flex. So that's going to give you 10 full rounds, which is basically going to give you a full IDP team for most leagues that you're going to be in, most competitive IDP leagues you're going to be in. So I don't know if you've got a plan. I kind of know who I'm targeting with my first pick. And
me too.
I know who you're targeting with your first pick. I'd be interesting to see where Dan goes with his first pick here. But yeah, I guess there's no real reason to not just go ahead and fire this bad boy up. I put this out a couple of spots. I see if any, but it's kind of early. You know, we do this earlier. Most people Sunday morning are not producing fantasy content. So, all right, let's find this start button over here. Begin draft. Let's go. All right, Jared's on the clock. Darius Leonard, of course.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to. Darius Leonard's such a beast. This is going to be interesting with, you know, how it goes, you know. But Darius Leonard's such a beast, man. He's so consistent. You're talking 25, 30 points a game from an IDP player.
Yeah.
It will be interesting as much as they've added with DeForest Buckner, you know. Does it hurt or help him? Who knows?
I'm going to take TJ Watt. I'm going to draft, and I had the 102 yesterday with some guys, and Darius Leonard went first, and TJ Watt went second. And the more and more I look at it, the more and more convinced I am that, I mean, TJ Watt is just in almost any league setup, any scoring setup. We're doing this in IDP 1-2-3 scoring setup too. So, I mean, obviously that's going to, you know, be – favorable for some of these positions that might not get a lot of tackles but do other things. And even in fantasy pro scoring last year, TJ Watt was very, very a high-end option for IDP. I know, again, it kind of goes against conventional wisdom, but I'm letting people know that it's okay to take Watt early and often in your IDP drafts. I mean, he does everything. I mean, the sacks are there, obviously. The tackles are there. The pass deflections are there. I mean, guy had multiple interceptions last year, like six, seven, eight forced fumbles. I mean, if he was a D end, if he was a DL eligible, he would be a top three pick in all over the place. I have no doubt.
Completely agree.
The points are the points are the points at the end of the day for me. And I'm also a Steelers fan, so it's nice to have a Watt brother there. All right, Dan is on the clock. Hopefully he is aware. I messaged him, told him we're getting going, but he got back-to-back picks here. I bet he takes Danielle Hunter will probably be his pick here, or Joey Bosa, or Myles Garrett, or maybe he doubles up on us. What do you think he's going to do?
You know, I could totally see a double up.
Or he could take Bobby
Joey
Wagner.
Bosa. I'm okay. Taken. Wagner got taken. He's already. I could see a Leighton Vander Esch, Joey Bosa back-to-back here. I know they're the next two off the board, but I keep preaching. I think – you know, we talked about our group last week and our bust and our risers. I'm not sold on Jalen Smith anymore, man. I don't know what's going to happen. So we'll see if
– you're breaking my heart. He was a guy I was considering at the 102 in that draft I'm in with some guys from – it's just an IDP-only draft. It's actually very similar setup to this league. Or this mock right here. The scoring's similar to IDP 1-2-3, but it's more – it's like a mesh between that and fantasy pros. So instead of 3 points for forced fumbles and fumble recoveries, they have four. Instead of a 1 point for an assist. It's a 0.75, so that's a little bit less. Sacks are 4 instead of 6 in that league. And they had the pass deflections kind of low, but we did convince them to move it up to 3. And honestly, I mean, as a combination scoring, it's not a pure IDP 1-2-3, not a pure fantasy pros. I mean, it's actually a pretty nice little scoring system they got set up overall. So on TJ Watt was the top finisher in that league. And Shaq Barrett was right behind him, Chandler Jones. So, you know, it's okay to take pass rushers, especially in a well-designed league. All right, Dan. Dan took Leighton Van Der Esch. That was an interesting pick from my man, Dan. I'm sure he's probably trying to decide between Myles Garrett and Danielle Hunter here, if I had to guess. And he's got a long wait.
I don't know. I think Joey Bosa comes off the board. You have to think about IDP 1-2-3 scoring, and you got, you know, quarterback hits. Joey Bosa doesn't have any short list on quarterback hits. So, yeah. I mean, it's weird if you can get the – you talk about J.J. Watt, you know, who'll come off the board no matter what in his – but who knows what's going to happen. J.J. Watt – is a quarterback hurt, you know, quarterback hits guru, man. This dude is all over the field. 1 year he had 55 quarterback hits.
Yeah. Tackle for loss, sacks, quarterback hits. I mean, he had a year where he had the most obscene number of tackles for loss I think I've ever seen. It was like almost 30 or something. It was ridiculous. I'm going to look that up real quick. I mean, and people are kind of fading him because he's a little bit older, but when he's on the field, I mean, snap for snap, there's nobody who really produces more fantasy points than this guy does. Yeah, he had a year of 39 tackles for loss in 2012. He had back-to-back years of 29 tackles for loss. So, and just to give you a frame of reference, this year's leader in tackles for loss in 2019 was Aaron Donald, and he had 20. So this dude put up almost a whole another third's worth of production in back-to-back years at his height of his power. And it's not to say he couldn't do it again. I mean, he had 18. Well, I don't know. Getting up 29 is, that's some crazy stuff. Man, Dan picked, but he timed out. He ended up getting Joey Bosa. That's who we kind of thought we'd end up with. All right, I'm back on the clock here. All right, well, I got TJ Watt. Ooh, Danielle Hunter's still on the board. And Myles Garrett. So this is this to me – I'm going to look at the other positions, but it's really not even something worth looking at. I'm going to take Myles Garrett. I think he's hungry. Man. He's going to have a big year this year. You know, he was on pace to have an excellent season last year to lead the league in sacks, and then he got in some trouble. So Myles Garrett it is for me. So you're up back-to-back. What are you thinking here?
I'm back-to-back here. I'm always going to take a linebacker early and often, it seems like, but I got my guy already. So for me, you know, we keep talking about how good Landon Collins is going to be, and he's so consistent. But I just look at little stuff, man. And I'm going to take him right away. I'll take Landon Collins. That way it gives me a little idea. My next guy is a guy who's, you know, kind of come up the board on us a little bit, and a guy that we've been talking about, you know, and you think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to have a much bigger year than Deion Jones and
Zach Cunningham. I love that pick. Led the AFC in tackles last year, I believe. Low key, doesn't get talked about a lot because he's not sexy like Darius Leonard. He's not sexy like, you know, Freddie Prince Warner. But I mean, he can bang with the best of them. So I love that. I love that pick for you. All right, I got TJ Watt. I got Myles Garrett.
I'll be shocked linebacker. If you don't take one of the other two guys. Yeah.
I'm taking Jalen Smith here. I know you were kind of talking him down a little bit earlier, but
I mean, but if you're talking third round,
look how many linebackers have come off the board as well. I mean, two. I mean, we're talking almost 24. Give me all that. There's no reason he should still be here. I will gobble that up. So I got Jalen Smith, TJ Watt, two guys who are in my top 10. In redraft and in dynasty at linebacker, and I got one in the first and I got one in the third. So I'm very, very happy about that. We'll see what Dan's going to pull off here. Hopefully he's around to make this pick. Anybody that's watching want to have any comments? I mean, I usually am bad about interacting with people while we're doing shows, but I mean, during a mock draft show, people have questions or want to give out their comments. Today is the day because I'm aware. I'm on that meta.
Chandler Jones. I like it.
Ooh, I love that pick, especially. And I didn't say if this was redraft or dynasty. We're just going to assume redraft here. Chandler Jones is another guy who's I mean, he's top of his game. There you
go. Derwin James. You know, Derwin James come off the board this late, and I get that we're playing with a bunch of bots and whatnot, but still very, very late. And, you know, and that's based on the sleepers ADP. So
that is interesting. Yeah, well, you'll see some guys on here that probably shouldn't go. Bethea's not signed anywhere. Clinton Dix, nobody's taking him that early. But like you said, we are playing bots, so we're going to win. We're going to have the best teams.
But really, here's the thing. If you didn't take Jalen Smith, I thought you would take Buda Baker. So him going right after you.
I thought about it. All right, so let's go back to D-line here. So I have one defensive lineman. I still don't have any defensive backs, but there's there's several guys here I love. I love Poyer. I love Harrison. I love Tracy Walker. I mean, all three. I love Jabril Peppers. So I'm not really – I think one of them is going to come back easily. I am looking at Josh Allen here. I am looking at Chase Young. Might chase that rookie fever.
Ooh, Chase Young.
DeMarcus Lawrence is – I don't want to tell – I'm not taking him this early. He's a guy that I'm interested in. Yeah.
Is he?
Based on what I'm seeing here, I'm going to go with Chase Young. I'm going to get that rookie fever. And I'm going to go with the
upside. I'm glad you did
pick.
That because you already know where I'm going. It's pretty easy for me.
Back-to-back picks over here, big guy. What do you got? You still don't have a D-line? There you go, Josh Allen. I figured that.
Yeah, I mean, I did the, Chase Young just so I could have Josh Allen because I'm the biggest Josh Allen fan on the planet. So
I got him with my second pick in that draft that I was just telling you about, the IDP-only draft, and I was pretty happy with it. I mean, Chase Young went right before him, and it's a dynasty, so I was looking at Chase Young. But to get Josh Allen that late, a guy who is dual-eligible in sleeper, let's see if we can look at his player card here. So he's linebacker and DL-eligible, so I really like that about him.
This is a tough one for me because I really like Tracy Walker. John Johnson's already gone for me. I already have Landon Collins, which is great. But, I mean, it's hard to pass on Eric Kendricks. And I know he's going to come off the board because of the bots. And we talk about the pass deflections being a big deal. If you look at points, the difference in Tracy Walker and Eric Kendricks was none last year. Right? Mm-hmm. And – you know, give you Tracy Walker, you know, had a few less games with some injuries. So this is a tough one for me as much as I really – and, you know, everybody knows that I'm a big linebacker-heavy guy. And if you can get a good one, you keep a good one.
Yeah.
Melvin Ingram's going to come off the board pretty quick too. He's another really good stash for DL. But it's kind of hard for me to pass on Tracy Walker, so I'm going to do that.
I don't blame you at all. I was looking at Kendricks and Walker. We're definitely both interesting there. Oh, man, did all the guys I wanted go off the board? No. All right, so I'm going to take my first defensive back here just because I think the good defensive backs are kind of thinning out a little. Not, you know, I mean, Jabril Peppers, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Von Bell, Minkah Fitzpatrick, all of these guys are guys that will be drafted and will be on teams and will produce. They're going to do it different ways, though. Malcolm Jenkins, Jeremy Chinn. The guy I feel safest with this group is Jabril Peppers, though. I mean, he was excelling last year. He was on pace before he got hurt to finish the season as a top five defensive back. He still ended up in only, what, he played 13 games last year, 12, 13 games. He ended up as the strong safety 14, which essentially is defensive back overall, I think, like 15, 16. So he had a really good season. He has dual eligibility. I'll never play him at linebacker, but it's nice to have. And, yeah, I'm going to take Jabril Peppers here. He's you know, a little teaser, but when we have a My Guys episode in a week or two, Jabril Peppers is going to be one of my guys. Just, I'm going to go ahead and tease
You know, I love him. I love him. But, man, if you can't worry about a neck injury, if you're that – I mean, people worried about Leighton Vander Esch, can't be worried about Jabril Peppers, right? So,
yeah.
Chris Jones, I like that.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Chris Jones, you can get him so late right now in – you know, as a DL guy, I mean, look at him. He took him as his third defensive lineman. And there, I mean, he's got almost as good a shot to lead the league in sacks as anybody. And Dante Fowler doubling up there. I like that.
I would take both those guys. So,
all right. So let's take a look at my team. I've got two defensive back, or I've got two linebackers, two DL, and I have my first defensive back. I'm going to look at my DL and see who's available. So Sam Hubbard is still available. He's a guy we talked about on our studs and duds or our breakout and bust last week as one of the guys who's in the top 24 at his position that's most likely to bust out. That being said, this is still the sixth round of a 10-round draft, and he's going to be my third defensive lineman. I'm going to scroll down a little bit here and see if there's anybody else that really pops to me. I'm sure you saw me stop right there over my dude, Robert Quinn. Don't you dare touch Robert Quinn. All right, I'm going to take Sam Hubbard just because, you know, if nothing else, he's got the tackle floor and the name value coming off of last year. He should be a guy I can move if I absolutely need to. And if he comes through, I mean, he's going to come through in a different way than Chase Young and Myles Garrett do, and he's going to protect – he's going to insulate some of those low-end weeks for them, hopefully. So I'm going to take my dog Sam Hubbard. He was one of my first – my big sleepers from last year, and he panned out for us. But, all right, back to you, big man. So right,
I mean,
now,
I get – Two rookies popped up right here in front of us. We got Isaiah Simmons, Patrick Queen. They are on my list for my rookie top 25, which I will be restarting or finishing the top 20 this starting this week. But they're not one of my guys. And I'm going to take two guys that I'm – if I'm a Dynasty guy and you're playing Dynasty and we're talking about redraft here, I still think they're really high number guys. If anybody doesn't know me, I'm a huge Oklahoma fan, and I don't know why my dude's not on.
I think he got taken. Yep, Kenneth Murray. He went. Yep, first rookie linebacker off the board. The computer's smart.
Took my boy. Well, I'm not gonna waste any time because I'm worried about somebody else taking this guy. So we're gonna take my dude, Max Crosby.
Max Crosby into the sixth round.
Huge fan there.
He's got upside. You know, people want to talk. The thing about him that still the only thing that I can reason I can find my people. I mean, everyone's hesitant to go all in on Max Crosby. It's just because of the draft capital. I mean, he was not the third overall pick like Colin Farrell was, and it took some time for him to get on the field. But the reality
he even had hand surgery in. Following, you know, he hurt his hand in training camp. Where if you saw the Hard Knocks episode, you know, it was bad. Mm-hmm. And he still comes back from it and has a 10-sack season. Come on, bro. Give me all of that.
And by the end of the year, I mean, he was their starter and their most, you know, their most valuable defensive lineman. I mean, he was on the field constantly. So that tells you not only do they trust him to make the right plays, but they trust him to be the guy who's most likely to make the right play, given the guys they have on that line. They added Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib doesn't worry me. Colin Farrell, I mean, we saw what he can do. He doesn't concern me that much. So, I mean, it's Max Crosby's defensive line to own and run. He's got the double X's. He's got a very George Kittle kind of presence about him, you know, the wrestler kind of mentality, the big personality. This guy's a star in the making, and – yeah, to get him here in the sixth round, there's a good chance next year he's going to be consistently taken in the top 10 at defensive line, especially with some of these other guys kind of aging out. So what are you thinking with this next pick? Yeah, 18 seconds.
I'm going to take him right now because I think he ends up getting his thing. Come on, take it.
Ah, I hate you, Shaq Barrett. That was who I was looking at.
So I haven't picked him as a linebacker, but I honestly think he's going to get picked up. I think he's going to get his grievance done. Him and another guy that I'll probably take in my next round. Getting Shaq Barrett in the first pick in the seventh round, I'll take it all day.
Yeah. I mean, he finished top two at his position. If he played defensive end, he would have finished top three at his position.
Would have finished number one, I think, right?
Yeah, I think you're actually right. And it's easy to just be like, well, he only did it once. He'll never do it again. But all the auxiliary stuff was there. The pressures were there. The forced fumbles were there. The pass deflections were there. The tackles for loss were there. The quarterback hits were there. I mean, it wasn't like there was one statistical outlier that got him there. He was just playing at an elite level across the board. And it was his first time getting the appropriate number of snaps to be able to do that. And he did it. So, you know, that was a great pick in the seventh round. I mean, especially considering guys like Malcolm Jenkins were taken before him and Kevin Byard. And I mean, just some of these guys that really are being taken in drafts before him are, it's just, come on, man. Like, just take the upside at this point. I mean, we're 5, 6, 7 rounds in. Stop playing games. So let's see. I need to get a defensive back here. So I'm looking at Xavier McKinney right here. He's probably the guy that
I'm you already got Jabril Peppers.
I know, but hey, I played the Bethea Pepper stack last year and it worked great. And so I'm actually going to double up again. I'm going to take both these New York defensive backs. They worked out great for me last year when it was Bethea. McKinney's younger. I'm going to take him. So I'm doubling up on those New York Giants. I'm not a New York Giants fan, so don't get it twisted out there. But I recognize a guy who's going to get some work. So Dan over here taking Mac Wilson.
Wow. Okay, Mac Wilson. Okay.
Wild, man. I'm definitely taking Kwiatkowski over Wilson personally.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm going to take maybe back to back here in a second. All right,
back to me. I got to take another linebacker at this point because I'm not going to fill out that defensive back spot. So I'm going to do a little digging here. I'm going to look a little deep. Willie Gay. Ooh, Brian Burns. Okay, so this is kind of a game theory question. Do I want Brian Burns with his dual eligibility, linebacker and DL, who I think is in line to have a significant bump in snaps and production this year, only 22 years old, or do I go with my dude Nick Kwiatkowski, who when he was on the field last year was an absolute stud muffin? I mean, look at the games he started, 10 tackles, then he gets back in again, 10 tackles, 10 tackles, 10 tackles, and that's on top of these other things he did. He got multiple sacks. He had interception. Man, this is tough. And you know what? I'm going to go Kwiatkowski here. Even though I like Brian Burns a lot, I think Kwiatkowski is going to have a safe floor for tackles, and he's going to get the auxiliary stuff. And when it comes to Brian Burns, I'm kind of hoping that he just sees an overall behind the line of scrimmage boost. So I'm going to take Nick Kwiatkowski here a little bit late, a solid linebacker who should technically probably never leave the field. So I'm going to take me some Nick Kwiatkowski, y'all, and I encourage you to do the same late in your drafts.
Okay, yeah, guys like Avery Williamson who's coming off the board who really just shot up because CJ Mosley says he's going to take the year off. Mm-hmm. And then Yannick, you know, Yannick is one of those guys who's very social media present, so he's always posting something. And he's so cryptic because you don't know what's going on with him. Who knows? So here's a tough one. KJ Wright with Seattle. I mean, let's be real here. He had, well, like 130 tackles last week or last year.
Yeah.
He had a big year, which, I mean, I like KJ Wright. Don't get me wrong here, but they didn't draft that rookie for no reason. And Warner's, well, Mr. Consistent, 150 tackles a year. So I'm not sold on there. You got guys like, you know, Ronnie Harrison on the board, Von Miller's on the board. But, dude, mm-hmm. Eric Armstead with your boy leaving and DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
They believe in him. So, for me, I can't pass on Eric Armstead right now.
I like that pick a lot.
So, he's my pick right here.
I mean, look at the snaps, too. I mean, he played a lot of snaps down the stretch.
Yeah.
And he's more of opened up, too. And he was, you know, he's the guy they ended up keeping over DeForest Buckner. So, yeah.
The next guy is somebody who I've been high on from the get. And I took somebody earlier that had 119 points in Eric Kendricks. And I continue to be high on the guy. He's going to get picked in a second anyway. And I'm not going to let this dude pass on me. Tahir Whitehead is going to have a big year. I don't care what anybody says. I love him going to Carolina. So he's a veteran presence with a great speed. So,
yeah. And then, yeah, losing Keekly, you know the tackles are there. And like you said, he's low-key. We said on a show a couple weeks ago when we did our preview of that division, the NFC South, You know, he's quietly just had 110 to 120 tackles like forever, basically. So to get a guy who is put in a situation to succeed even more than that, yeah, great, great stuff. All right, so let's look at my team here real quick. I think I need a defensive back and an IDP flex. So this is going to be my second to last pick. So let's see who's on the board here at defensive back. We have Kenny Moore, Tre'Davious White, Grant Delpit. Anybody else I'm overly interested in right now? Most of my good strong safeties are gone. Most of my good free safeties are gone. You're kind of looking at guys that are going to be 60, 70 tackle-ish fellas.
I mean, so do you need a safety?
I don't have to have a safety.
What about Kyle Duggar, bro?
Is he still on the board? Doug?
See why he wouldn't be.
True. Yeah, Kyle Duggar is on the board.
What about Jeremy Chinn? Is he off?
Yeah, Jeremy Chinn got taken. He always gets taken. Yeah, he got taken right before you two rounds ago. I'm going to actually go back to a guy that I was talking about in this last round. I'm going to go back to Brian Burns, who's still on the board. And I just believe in the increased production from year one to year two for this guy. So I'm going to take Brian Burns here. He's going to be my IDP flex, and I'll get that last defensive back when I swing back around. And it probably will be Kyle Duggar. Like Dan taking Bradley Chubb. Making me look like an idiot because I should have taken Bradley Chubb probably. Oh, well. Good on you, Dan. All right.
Kari Willis, 10 was the last pick. I like that.
Yeah, Kari Willis is majorly slept on. He's kind of not. Like, he is and he's not. Like, he's definitely a guy that is polarizing in our community. You know what? I was talking about going and getting Duggar, but I'm just going to take Kenny Moore. I don't usually take cornerbacks, but Kenny Moore is – I mean, he's that slot corner in Indianapolis that has produced in a big way. He had like 70 tackles, I think, last year, and he missed some games. So I'm going to take Kenny Moore as that third IDP or as that third defensive back because I got two good safeties there. And, yeah, I'm going to mix it up. So I'm going to take Kenny Moore to finish off.
I like it. A good finish. So last pick in the draft, you got guys like Ndamukong Suh come off the board. Gerald McCoy, which is interesting. But to be honest with you, where he's at in Dallas, I can totally see him having a pretty good year this year. They've got some good guys. You know, guys that are on my list right now, Earl Thomas. I like Anthony Walker this late. I have to take a DB, so that has to happen. And Duggar's still on the board, especially with as many people are off the board now. And, you know, I like Will Sutherland. There's some guys I like, but I'm either taking Antoine Winfield Jr. or Kyle Duggar here. The main reason I'm going to take Kyle Duggar is I'm surprised he doesn't have the dual on him, linebacker or safety.
I know.
Because he's going to play both probably, especially with as many, Dante Hightower and all these people off the board. And people aren't going to, they didn't draft Duggar so high for no reason. And I remember in one of my chat groups, they're talking about him, you know, being whatever. Like, oh, who's this guy that got drafted? Well, if you guys listen to our show, you'd know Kyle Duggar's pretty high on our list on steals. And he'll be my last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I'll take a Patriot for last pick in the draft. And
there you go.
It's as many guys are coming off the board, I got to have one guy to ball out, you know. And I think Monday or Tuesday or even Wednesday – we'll have the closeout when guys can opt out or not. And I think as many guys have opted out at New England, Kyle Duggar's going to get more and more playing time. So there you go.
I'm going to read these teams back off your team, my team, and then Dan's team for everyone, just in case somebody's, you know, people are actually listening to this on the podcast version instead of on the YouTube. So Jared ended up with three defensive linemen being Josh Allen, Max Crosby, Eric Armstead. Three linebackers were Darius Leonard, Zach Cunningham, Shaq Barrett, Landon Collins, Tracy Walker, Kyle Duggar, and then his IDP flex was Tahir Whitehead, which that's a solid squad. And in Dynasty,
I'm going to take that all day, bro.
Yeah, in Dynasty, that's a young squad, too. I like that. My team ended up being defensive line. I had Miles Garrett, Chase Young, Sam Hubbard, and then I went with linebackers T.J. Watt, Jalen Smith, Nick Kwiatkowski. And then my defensive backs were Jabril Peppers, Xavier McKinney, Kenny Moore. And then in my IDP flex, I took Brian Burns. And then our man Dan, where is he at? Dan's team ended up being, his three defensive linemen ended up being Joey Bosa, Chandler Jones, and then Chris Jones. Linebackers ended up being Leighton Vander Esch, Marlon Mack, and then Bradley Chubb, who is dual designation as a linebacker.
Mack Wilson, not Marlon Mack.
Oh, yeah, Mack Wilson. same kind of player, really. Okay, don't come at me with those pitchforks.
Damn.
Defensive backs, he got Derwin James, Carl Joseph, and then Kari Willis. In his IDP flex, he had Dante Fowler Jr. And then, like I said, Bradley Chubb ended up being – he has dual designation, so he would have been his third linebacker.
Dude, so, Derwin James in the fourth round is honestly such a steal.
Yeah, and he was the – he probably honestly should have ended up going in the third round, probably right around where Ha-Ha Clinton Dix went.
Well, honestly, I'm surprised I didn't take him, but you ain't passing on Landon Collins, bro.
No, and it's interesting. Landon Collins, I've been considering moving him up in my rankings the past few days because you look at what Eric Reed did, last year with the Panthers with Ron Rivera as his coach, and he, behind Jamal Adams, he rushed the passer quite a bit. Landon Collins has got a skill set that is, for a safety, is one of the most diverse and capable. I mean, he's probably the closest player to Jamal Adams or, just Jamal Adams or Derwin James. That's not that name. And now he's got a, he's on a team that their defense doesn't have.
3 years ago, Landon Collins was DB1.
Yeah, he was crushing. And I think he could be a multi-sack guy this year. I think he's going to easily eclipse 100 tackles. And he got behind the line of scrimmage last year, I think 9, 10, 11 times. That's just for tackles for loss, not even counting his sacks. So there's a case to be made for Landon Collins to end up as the DB1 in 2020. And I've been back and forth on how exactly I view him. He is a top three guy for me. I've got him ahead of Derwin James already. And if I were to move Jamal Adams down, which, the peer pressure is definitely on out there in the IDP community to move him down, the guy who would be going ahead of him is Landon Collins, in my opinion. But let's talk about Jamal Adams' old team. Let's talk about the Jets real quick. What do you think about this Mosley thing? I mean, people have been talking about Avery Williamson, Burgess, Hewitt.
Hewitt, bro.
Hewitt crushed last year. I remember.
So Hewitt played the second most snaps besides, mental blank all of a sudden.
Cashman?
No.
Burgess and Cashman and Hewitt were like the three guys who kind of popped up in
it
there.
It must have been Burgess. So okay. Burgess was number one at 602, and then Hewitt at 598. So I do remember the numbers. I just didn't remember as Burgess. So Burgess was number one in snaps, Hewitt number two. Everybody keeps talking about Avery Williamson, and I get it, guys, but one thing you got to look at is
– watch it now.
Yeah. Well, you also got Patrick Armwasser. But
Stop.
They signed him. He didn't prove his point. He didn't prove his worth at Baltimore when C.J. Mosley left. So in that aspect, I can't take him. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, we were so drunk and high on him last year. Same with Olakun. And just none of that came to fruition. So I'm definitely tentative, especially on a guy that got moved. I mean, when I look at Patrick Onosar and I look at Patrick Queen, they kind of have a
Patrick
similar.
Queen's faster.
Okay, faster, yeah. But I don't know. I'm not sold on either of them. Onosar, I'm not
all
sold
right.
on. I like
so this
Hewitt.
Is your hot take moment.
Oh boy.
Is Patrick Queen gonna have an Onwasser year? Everybody really high on him, and he just has an average year.
Let me double check exactly what Onwasser did last year because I want to know my exact numbers because I might actually Patrick Onwasser is only in his third year too, which to already be on a new team. So last year he had 64 tackles, three sacks.
I can see Patrick Queen. That's an interesting number,
isn't it? Patrick, he only started six games. Patrick Queen will start more than six games. But I could honestly see what. So in 2017, Onwusor had 90 tackles and started 13 games. I could see Patrick Queen with a season kind of like that, like a 90 tackle season, four tackles for a loss, two pass deflections. I'm just not projecting a world beater season for Patrick Queen personally. I feel like we've talked about him a lot on the show.
Well, there, I mean, thing is, got Malik Harrison next to him too. So
I know.
And if anybody, you know, especially a bunch, you know, a lot of us IDP guys are Ohio State followers. You know, I'm just a big college football follower. So Malik Harrison's no push, guys. I mean, he's a baller. Okay. Ohio State has put out some pristine linebackers, defensive linemen, and corners the last couple of years. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So,
yeah. Just some of the best football players in the NFL have come out of Ohio State the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, just
so many.
I mean, corners, we've got
Michael Thomas, Zeke, you got Eli Apple, you got Marshawn Lattimore, right? Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Sam Hubbard. I mean, now we got Malik Harrison. Do they have any safeties come out that are any good?
Well, you got – the cornerback from this year was drafted by
Okuda.
Detroit.
Okuda. Yeah. So Ohio State's safeties, cranking them out.
Yeah, I mean, ballers, dude. I mean, they're all over the place. So
Dwayne Haskins, you know, Terry McLaurin.
And they're going to have the number one recruiting class from high school this year. I mean, I'll put it this way. Alabama's number three in that ranking system, and they're 30 points behind in the scoring system that they have for rivals. Behind the number one team in Ohio State, and Ohio State ain't close to being done. So that's scary. There's, you know, it doesn't matter who their coach is. You know, we're talking Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel, and now Ryan Day. It doesn't matter. Ohio State keeps bringing in people. So it's fun to watch players come from different people. I also like watching, you know, those no-name guys. You know, we've got small-time guys like Kyle Duggar. I really, really wanted to see Nasir Adley blow up, but he just – I don't know what happened. He just didn't – he had one really good game and didn't do really anything. Another person, you know, we talked about – or we don't talk about a lot is Juan Thornhill, you know, with Kansas City. Juan Thornhill had a really, really good rookie season, you know, gets hurt in, you know, right before the playoffs or in the playoffs.
Yeah, and, I think it was that first playoff game, if I remember correct.
I mean, you want to talk about consistent? The kid was consistent. I mean, I get you got, you know, got the honey badger next to you, but Juan Thornhill was solid, man. And it's kind of easy to be solid when you got Tyrann Mathieu next to you.
Yeah. He, you know, Thornhill, the injury happening so late in the season kind of kills it for me to a degree. I mean, an ACL injury recovery time is essentially 9 months for an elite athlete. So, I mean, if that happened in January, we're still – he's not going to start the season. I mean, it might be week four, five, six before he gets out there. So he's a guy to watch for his health, watch on waivers probably, maybe make a move for if you believe in him. But right now for me on the Chiefs, it's all Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, he's a world beater. I mean, he gets ball.
It's crazy how much, you know, he's been moved. I mean, this dude's played with, what, three different teams?
I know, right? It's insane.
And he's
really
a baller.
It's funny because, you know, it kind of supports the safeties or just kind of a Jags position. But at the same time, then you have Minka and Jamal Adams getting moved for big return. So yeah. I think the market on safeties is shifting when you see what a playmaking safety can do. I mean, to move away from Mathieu, but I mean, look at Daniel Sorensen, who came in for Juan Thornhill. The Chiefs, he and Frank Clark were the, in my opinion, the biggest difference makers for the Chiefs down the stretch. I mean, Sorensen had a monster stop. He had the kick, the return for a touchdown, I think, was it in the playoffs. I mean, he just came in off the bench and was just – he made special teams plays. He made big plays in games. So, I mean, safeties, while they might not be the most, you know, sought after position, you know, when you really comes down to it, they make plays, you know, and they can turn the tide of the game just as easy as anybody else. And I think that guys like Jamal Adams and guys like Tyrann Mathieu, you know, showing that their success is kind of multifaceted, you know, and to be a truly well-versed multifaceted safety is a good thing. I guess Minkah is more of a specialist with his coverage ability. But, I mean, if you're the best at what you do, no matter what you do on the field, even if it's a position that isn't a premium position like a pass rusher, you're worth something. So, you know, every day these guys are out there making a difference for their team. And maybe, you know, if the Jets don't appreciate that, guess what? Now you're on a better team that has paid attention. You know, Miami doesn't appreciate Minkah after they spend a first on him. Guess what? Now he's on the Steelers. And the Steelers are a team that, you know, they respect their defensive players, and he could be a guy that
I love Steelers. I love their dual role. You got Edmonds and Minkah. I love what they do with him. That's just why I'm so high on Edmonds, because any player who can have 100 tackles and 71 solos, or, you know, and then you have Minkah next to you.
You don't have to ever worry about coverage. I mean, Steelers defense, they're so disruptive. You know, we said it a couple weeks ago, you know, you brought up Terrell Edmonds, great example. He had 100 tackles, but it feels like he didn't do much because that's all he did. But if he has one game where he picks up a fumble recovery and houses it, if he has one game where he forces a fumble, if he has a pick, you know, if he has one of each of those events occur, he's suddenly up here in our rankings instead of down here, because we remember.
He's good for, you know, two picks, it seems like. I mean, he had two picks his rookie season. He had, what, 9 pass deflections last year? One was in and out of his hands. He's high on me, man. I am going to continue to preach somebody who's – if you're going to give me 100 tackles of safety and, you know, 3 interceptions, how is he not a top guy? You know, and
where did Terrell go in this? So he ended up going in the 8th round here, it looks like, right after Sean Williams. That's a great pick for somebody. I mean, Terrell Edmonds, like you said, let's take a look at him real quick here. I mean, look at that, 11 tackles, 10 tackles. I mean, another 11.
Those are linebacker numbers, dude.
Yeah.
Those are linebacker numbers.
All of the auxiliary stats, as you can see here, are blank. But as soon as he gets 2 or 3 of these auxiliary things, a sack, an interception, I mean, yeah, he's gonna go up the rankings for sure. And he's a guy, like you said, 13. He was just consistent. So that's a great pick that late in the draft for whoever this bot team ended up being. So,
yeah. I love him overall. So personally, yeah.
Well, I don't really have a whole much else to say. I thought this was a good show. It's a little different, you know, after the positional previews, you know, we've had to do so much homework, so much research into these guys, figure out who's relevant, what we actually want to bring up about them. It's fun to just hop on and do a mock draft and throw some guys on your team just, you know, because they're the guys you like and that's the guys that you would rock with. And I think all of our teams turned out pretty good.
Yep. I agree.
Yep. Well, guys, gals, IDP Army, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for tuning in this week. You know, you can always find my writing on Dynasty Nerds. You can find our podcast hosted on Expand the Box Score, which is going through an overhaul right now. All of our data is, I mean, we're like this close to being finished with that. And once that happens, it's going to be a game changer. They have a lot of good, great IDP data over there. So in college football stuff, if you guys are into Devy or college football, I'm not a huge college football guy, but they have some awesome, awesome stuff. I mean, you can look at snaps and down and distances and how guys perform on that level. I mean, you get really keyed into who's doing what, when, and where.
The scouting team does a phenomenal job over there. So
yeah, our scouting team is getting bigger. We're supposed to have one of our scouts on our show, hopefully this upcoming week or in 2 weeks, to talk to us about some IDP stuff, because he plays IDP, but also some of these rookies that are going to be coming in this next year and college football and all that. So you know where to find us, guys, at 50 Shades of Drunk on Twitter for me, at Jared Gray. And of course, Steve was not here, but of course, Steve was always doing something for us right before we came on. He was, you know, in our group chat, making sure we had everything set up. We love Steve. We miss him.
Always takes care of us.
Yes, we couldn't do this without Steve. So big shout out to the Dynasty Chef. Even though he's not here, he's still here with us. So that's all from me this week, IDP Army. I guess I will see you next week or later on this week. And yeah, love you guys. Appreciate you. Jared, tell us up.
As always, we appreciate you guys, and let's go, let's go, let's go.
In a wormhole, probably about to burn. In a white tunnel, are you ever gonna learn? See a land, probably gonna merge. Gonna be dead, laying in the dirt. Funny how you smart, but you still a nerd. Play your part, world gon' turn.